5 o'clock or a wee bit more.
We're kind of like a broadcasting accident looking for somewhere to happen.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Occasionally, we might even talk about something that matters.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you along. It is a beautiful Wednesday. We love our Wednesdays here. It is your Sports Bros, Rob. That's me, Big Sooks Rutterler.
I have hot rapier news.
Okay.
It came from a Spanish word that sounded like that. So that's
that. Okay.
It's
so our French pronunciation is not.
No, it doesn't correct. Have anything to do with that. It came from a Spanish word. You know, that happens all the time where it kind of. There's not a word for it in French, and so they kind of take on their own version of it, and then we added a version to it. But rapier doesn't mean anything. It's a dress sword, and the word was like ropiar or something in Spanish, which is where it came from. So there is no rape connotation to the sword that the Oregon guy brought to Washington,
okay.
D.C.
Thank you for that.
It was important to know. Some dude out there with that sword, he's like, I got nothing to do with rape. No, it doesn't. Just a pointy sword.
Coming up tonight in the club, we have a couple of items. One we didn't get to yesterday, the latest travel trend of honeymoon crashing by parents. We're also going to learn about Jake the Rizbot. I don't know if you've seen Jake the Rizbot.
This isn't the Rizzler, is it?
I don't think so. That I don't know what Jake the Rizbot is.
No, Jake the Rizbot. This is a bot, a robot.
Oh. Yeah, no, I don't know.
But he has Riz, and his name's Jake.
All right, let's go, Jake.
Is it our digital guy, Jake?
Oh.
No.
Speaking of Riz, I mean, come on.
That guy drips Riz, but it is not him.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, Bradley Beal got bought out today, I guess.
Yes. I think he took $13 million less to get bought out, and now he's going to go play for the Clippers for just a few shekels.
Boy, if you want a great, and I mean, well, I don't mean great. If you want a great example of a contrived, and I mean contrived, sports debate.
Sure.
I give you this debate that I heard on the herd this morning when I was driving around in my 2013 Subaru.
And that is?
Well.
Something about Bradley Beal?
Yeah. They were talking about this. Colin, you know, he's got that guy Jason McIntyre on his show?
Yes, who's a bit of a boob, if you ask me.
Well, he made the case. He was like, Colin.
That's a pretty good McIntyre impression.
Yeah, Colin. This is one of the, this is the steal of a deal for the Clippers, because I guess he got bought out by the Suns.
Yes.
And he's going to join the Clippers.
And 2 years, and I believe the total of it's like $11 million bucks. I mean,
nothing.
It's chump change.
That's what he said. He's like, that's a steal of a deal. Colin, how do you not get behind this? This is great. And Colin's like, what the hell are you talking about? Bradley Beal sucks.
Yeah, it doesn't matter even a little bit.
No, it really doesn't. But the fact that McIntyre...
The fact anybody thinks it does.
Well, I don't think he thinks it does. I think he's just... This is sports radio in July.
Yeah.
You get guys like this, like, Colin, yeah, this is a great deal. And he's like, no, it's not. And then all of a sudden, you got a 10-minute argument about something stupid. This doesn't matter. Bradley Beal's terrible.
Look,
So then you got Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
James Harden.
You are correct.
Bradley Beal.
Yes. Norman Powell.
No, they traded him.
They traded him to the Heat.
I mean, dude, that team isn't any better. No. Same team.
You add Bradley Beal to your roster, you might get slightly worse.
I think you might be right.
Like, because he's not necessarily reliable from a health standpoint. He's a defensive sieve. If you wanted to be like off the bench microwave scoring or even starting lineup volume scoring, that is fleeting. He's streaky at best. So he'll play you out of as many games as he plays you.
Yeah,
into.
So they're going to.
Oh, they got Collins. That's right.
They're going to run. Yeah, that's John part Collins, of the Norman Powell deal. So yeah. They will run out Zubac, Collins, Kawhi, Beal, and Harden when everyone is healthy. Here's the thing with Bradley Beal. Yeah. Like, Bradley Beal for all those years put up good numbers on the worst team in the NBA. And then he goes to Phoenix and it was like, oh my God, like
you didn't realize he's dead.
He averaged 30 points twice in his career. Like, and so it was like this idea that when he went to Phoenix, that was their big three, right? It was KD, it was Beal, and it was
Booker.
You know how many times? Who's going to stop this squad?
I saw that graphic today with these three, and it said, who's going to stop this trio? And someone quoted it and said,
anybody?
Out, doubtful, and game time decision.
That's fantastic.
So Bradley Beal can still, like, those two crappy years in Phoenix, he put up 17 and 18, but we talk about this all the time. There is nothing. There is nothing more meaningless in sports than the guy that can put up 17 points.
And only does that.
And only does that, and he does it on a bad team. It's just, and he played in like 50 games each year. I mean, I hate to do like the Anthony Simons thing, but it's like we love guys like, he gives you 16 a game that mean nothing, and he gives you back 18 on the other end.
What kind of happened with Beal, though? Like, wasn't he good?
And that's what I don't know, because, again, he played for so many years on a bad team. Is it possible that Bradley Beal just convinced us that he was good when all along he just put up the most hollow numbers in NBA history? He might be the definition of the best, worst player in NBA history.
But he's not a bonehead, right?
No, not really. He just is very quiet. And remember, all those years in Washington, no one could understand why he didn't want out. He never asked out. He was just happy to be there. He collected his money.
A couple times, I think they even floated trading him, and he said, no, I don't want to go.
I think Bradley Beal deep down knew that he wasn't very good, and that if he went somewhere where they expected him to do like something, that he would get exposed.
What the hell?
Three-time All-Star, Bradley Beal?
Yeah. And you said he averaged 30 and 31 2 years in a row.
You said best, worst player. I think he would be more worst, best player. Right? Because he's not a bad player.
No.
He's the worst, best player.
Yeah.
Because he's an all-star. Like, he's...
Yeah.
You know, not many guys are all-stars. So he's the worst, best player. He's like definition of that.
Sure.
I'll
give you that.
I've always thought that Carmelo Anthony was one of those. Was like maybe the poster child.
Yeah, but Carmelo Anthony was really good. Bradley Beal superstar. Is not really good.
But, yes, but... He's the worst of those.
Would you care to guess how much money? And like people like he gave back $13 million. You want to take a guess?
Oh, God.
What am I guessing about?
Bradley Beal.
Career earnings?
Career earnings.
$210 million.
Yeah. $240.
No.
$318
million.
God. Isn't that crazy? Beal. Crazy.
And now he just tacked on 11, so let's go ahead and call that. You know, he's approaching $330 million in career earnings.
Someone on the YouTube says he's out there Simonsing.
Yeah.
Simons is like that.
Someone said DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. Like, although DeMar DeRozan can do other things than play.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, DeMar DeRozan was better than Bradley Beal.
Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay is a, he's a guy who gets you 20 any night and does nothing else. That's a good call.
Yeah. It's just, It's bizarre, but this is why in the NBA when you get paid off of points, and I mean, he's going to go to the Clippers, and if anyone thinks that they're going to do anything come playoff time, good luck. He did nothing in Phoenix, nothing, and he'll do nothing in LA.
Yeah, his numbers in Washington, God, he was awesome.
Yeah, they were silly.
31 points a game.
Yep.
Shot those almost 40% from, that's 35. What am I looking at? 35% from three.
Yep. He was third team all NBA. He had 2 years. Well, and look, the numbers were good, but it was 2 years when he was 26 and 27. So 2019 and 2020, which by the way was quite a bit ago. Everything else, you know.
Is that a COVID year? Was COVID year in there?
Was there a COVID year in there?
Well, yeah.
I mean, but look at it. I mean, he averaged in his career 17, 15, 17, 22, 22, 22, 23, 23, 18, 17. And then those 2 years, 35 or 30.5 and 31. So I asked the question, if you eliminated those two seasons where he scored 30, and let's play the fun game of how many games did the Clippers win? And they were below 500 in both of those seasons. They won 45% of their games and 48% of the games. They weren't even a 500 team. If we eliminated those 2 years, what do we talk about? What do we think about Bradley Beal?
He's CJ McCollum.
Yeah. It's funny that 1 or 2 years and all, we're like, Bradley Beal. Dude, that dude's just living off those two seasons. Oh, I'll give you a 30. Nah, no, he won't. And he fooled a lot of people into giving him a lot of money.
Tell that to Jason McIntyre. Even Colin knew that was a bad argument. But hey, killed a segment with it. Yeah, I get it. I respect it.
Yeah. Well, we just did. Making fun of that.
Exactly. Caitlin Clark is white.
Mm-hmm. And has no groin.
Yeah, she's hurt.
Caitlin Clark is white.
I also saw a disturbing stat with her today.
I know. Yeah. I saw that too.
Whoops.
That's kind of what I'm... Look, let's be honest. I'm teeing this up. No one cares that she's hurt. Well, people do care that she's hurt. But we're really only talking about this so that we can get this stat onto the air.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because otherwise it would be out of context. Yeah, yeah. So,
I don't want to talk about Caitlin Clark's groin, but we're probably going to have to.
Well, she's hurt. And people want to see her in the All-Star game. She may not play, whatever. The stat's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And should Wyndham Clark ever set foot on the grounds of Oakmont again? That's next on The Fam. Yeah, we've got a quick open preview coming up because it starts in a matter of hours. You don't even have to sleep tonight if you don't want to.
Although you probably should. If you're staying up on a 24-hour bender to watch golf, I mean, maybe DJ. I mean, he sounds like maybe he does that from
Dustin
time to time.
Johnson.
You know, a little, you know, I mean, 24 hours seems like a silly reason to... Golf is a silly reason to stay up for 24 hours.
Well, I won't stay up late tonight, but I will get up early, particularly Sunday morning, to make sure I catch the end. Because, you know, I just think, you know me, I'm a firm believer as an old man in early morning sports.
Yes.
I think it's great.
It's wonderful. Well, it really is.
Especially, I will say that early morning championship golf...
It's great.
Or breakfast at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
There is something great about, you know, you make up, you know, you wake up, maybe get a coffee, hash brown, some eggs or whatever, lay on the couch, it's quiet in the house. And then when it's over, you still feel like you have your whole day. That's wonderful.
Well, if you think about it, most people's downtime is either first thing in the morning or last thing at night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And last thing at night can be a lot more active than first thing in the morning.
Dude.
So when you're sitting there with your coffee, waking up.
Yeah.
And you have something that cool to watch?
Yep.
Come on.
First thing in the morning, anything is...
it's efficiency.
If you can find a way to get up and not be all hungover or whatever, that's just it's a good
time. Maybe
just
don't drink so much. That would be my way.
Oh, shut up.
Also, if you are hungover, golf, the perfect sport. They talk quietly.
Shut up.
Everything's soft.
That's a good point.
Yeah exactly.
Good for napping. Yeah, there's not a lot of loud action.
It's not intense.
The golf nap, phenomenal. Love a good... I'll miss hole like 7 to like 12.
Yeah.
And then wake up.
Because the 18 holes gets a little long.
The gallery starts stirring and it wakes you up a little bit.
Yeah. And you have to do the what happened? And all of a sudden there's like a 3-shot swing. And you're like, oh.
What happened? Then you can rewind.
They'll catch up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's coming up. But Caitlin Clark is hurt.
And she's white.
Yeah, she's white.
Caitlin Clark is white.
It's important to mention that.
So she's hurt her groin and she may or may not play in the All-Star game. I don't know.
Well, she hurt her other groin because she's got groin problems. Now we've now hurt both groins and a hamstring.
The point is that we have to tell you a stat.
And it's not a good stat.
It's a terrible stat.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I was shocked when I heard it.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark this season on the road is shooting from 3-point range. 3%.
Hey-o!
And it makes me sad.
She has one
three?
Made.
Yes.
One.
She is one of 32.
Yes.
On the road.
Well, and
three.
And the other one that's going about is Angel Reese, who can't shoot at all. Angel Reese has made 3 road 3-pointers, and Caitlin Clark has made 1. Oof.
Wow.
So Angel Reese is doing as much for the game as Caitlin Clark.
Clearly.
Dude, she should put, if Angel Reese has any balls.
Challenge her to a 3-point contest.
She should post something about that.
She probably, well, if you've seen Angel Reese shoot, you probably wouldn't. But yes, it would be a delicious troll of her to do that.
That's a great troll.
Yes,
come on.
It is great. That is a phenomenal troll. Yeah, the Caitlin Clark thing is interesting because after she came back from being hurt, she has not been good at all.
How do you shoot, when you're that good of a shooter, how do you go 1 for 32?
My guess is that she's clearly injured. She's battled. When you have a double groin and a hamstring, and so much of your power obviously is coming from your legs, you know, to be a shooter like that, my guess is that she has not been healthy at all this season. She's missed multiple games. And then there's probably a lot of pressure on her you know, she is arguably the most famous athlete right now in the United States. Outside of like LeBron, who's getting older, Steph that's getting older, find me someone that's more marketable and is a bigger draw. When Caitlin Clark goes to play road games, they move him into different arenas.
Did you see that video? I don't know if we talked about it here. Did you see the video when she was back at Iowa, when she lit up the scrimmage team?
Yeah.
It's the one she talked about on the David Letterman interview.
Yeah.
Where she scored like 25 points in like...
Yeah, in a couple minutes.
Yeah. Dude, it was unbelievable. Go look at that video. Yeah. She's chucking it from everywhere.
So when you take into account the massive pressure, the other teams beat the living crap out of her. They throw every defense known to man at her.
I kind of like that element.
And the pressure on it, I'm guessing this has been a...
That's been good for the WNBA.
Yes.
I mean, Caitlin Clark's good for the WNBA, but that whole element of people trying to...
Take her down a notch?
Yeah, shove her around.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I kind of like the spitfire, the competitive fire.
Well, I mean, it's the one thing. I can't say it's the one thing. Look, the WNBA is having a moment, and it's not exclusively because of Caitlin Clark, but... It's close to exclusively because of Caitlin Clark. And it's not good that she's shooting one of 30 whatever.
One of 32.
Yeah. I mean.
That's just really weird. But you're probably right. With leg injuries,
yeah.
Maybe she just hasn't adjusted to the injury. And...
Well, you see it all the time where a guy in baseball who you know is a good hitter goes through all year and he's normally like a 285, 290 hitter.
Yeah.
And then he hits 220 and everyone's like, what's wrong? And then we find out all year he had a rib injury. And it wasn't enough to keep him out, but if you've got an oblique tear, good luck swinging a bat and catching up to Paul Skeens' cheese. And my guess is that's what this is. And then you throw the pressure in. Because every time she's out of games, it's a ratings death. It's an attendance death, ticket price death. And so they're just the amount of pressure for her to carry that sport. That's a lot for anybody. And you know, maybe she's cracking under the weight of that as well.
All right, up next, we have local golf goober versus rich country club.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about me.
Although I can see it.
Local golf goober?
Yeah,
I can see. You could see me getting violent in a locker room of a local country club.
Causing problems out at Waverly.
You've got to kick him off the tour.
They will kick you out of there.
Well.
You're a public course man, though.
That's right, public only here.
Can I say that is one of the bigger upsets that you've yet to join a country club?
Why?
I just can see it.
You seem like the type of man who would enjoy the comforts and reliability of the services of a country club.
Yeah, but, and you're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
You're not wrong about
Vegas
that.
Vegas has you as a favorite to be in a country club.
Look, I get that. But I don't know, it just doesn't pencil really that well for me.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
A lot of places to play golf.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying.
What club would you join if you could join a club? A lot of good clubs around here.
Well, again, you got to take into distance and all that. Like it.
Well, that's true.
It wouldn't make. There's only two that make any sense for me.
You.
For
me. Royal Oaks.
Royal Oaks or across the river.
Edgewater.
Those Riverside. Riverside. There you go. There's three. There's three that make sense because I am a creature of habit and comfort, and if you make me have a pain in the ass, but you know, Waverly or Portland is where you would want to be.
I live by Portland Golf Club, not too far.
Yeah,
but they won't have me.
No,
they've already sent me a sternly worded letter.
Well, I remember I've almost joined.
They said stop peering over our fence.
I have almost joined Royal Oaks a handful of times over the years.
It's a great club.
It's an amazing place.
Yeah,
and I'm fortunate enough. I have several friends, so I played there this morning. By the way,
see, that's the other thing about you and I. It's like
I got friends.
You got buddies.
Yeah. One of my buddies lives in Beaverton. Joined the reserve last year.
Oh, so there you go. Reserve's kinda great.
I go out there and play with him whenever I can.
Yeah, it's great. And they have two courses.
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing.
Yeah. So.
Because that's another thing about joining a country club.
Yeah,
you're paying course. All this money. It's the same course over and over. That I don't like. I like playing all over the place.
Yeah, I get
You know what I'm saying?
But I almost joined a number of years ago, and it was $2,500, and I didn't because
You know what it is now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
and we won't.
It ain't $2,500.
No, it's not $2,500. And so, but my kids were young, and I was like, how much am I going to do it? And then I almost joined at five, and I was like. Same thing. It was the kids were a little older and I sat there and I must have debated for like 6 months and I decided not to do it. And that was the last time that it was in that range. And I'm not going to say what it is, but it ain't 2,500 and it ain't five.
No, they are.
And they're all like that now.
I was just joking about Portland Golf Club. Yeah, it's. I love Portland Golf Club.
Yes.
But Langdon's my. Dude, Langdon's great. They've been great to me. I love that place. And so I don't, you know, I just don't have a reason to join a club. But there are a lot of good clubs around here. Mm-hmm. But to your point, I do think that that is very cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, it's market driven. It's kind of a weird time right now, market wise, but the rich guys, they're all doing great.
Yeah.
You know, and so if country clubs are, you know, they all kind of go in this, it's just a, it's an up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And there's good times to join and there's bad times to join. And right now, look, it's a good time to play public.
I'll just say this. There's places over in Portland where to join, it starts with a five.
More than that.
Yeah. That's a lot of,
seven. Try seven or eight.
Hey-o.
And that's nothing compared to, like, you go down to, like, Southern California.
Yeah.
You go to some other cities.
The crazy part is those guys don't even live in those places.
No.
They just pay that to golf it once a year.
That's right.
Yeah.
What a life. Yep. I'll stick to my public lands. Thank you very much.
I'll just suckle at the power tee to friends that go to those places.
That's another thing. It's kind of like owning a boat. Like, I don't want to own a boat. I want you to own a boat
so
I can
own a boat.
Come on a boat with you. You know, and it's not like we're using them. Do something for them. You know,
I
a hat or something.
Every one of my buddies that plays at Oaks, I invite them out to my course, and no one ever takes me up on it. No one wants to come play Fairway Village.
It's so true that sometimes country club guys will be like, "Oh, Rob, let's go play your course sometime. We'll come on." And they never mean that.
No.
They never mean that.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, come on down. I mean, it is public, so anytime.
Well, I play Fairway Village and I play Rose City, and let me tell you, none of my buddies that play at Royal Oaks are coming out to Rose City with me.
All right, where were we?
I don't know.
Oakmont.
Oakmont. Mm.
That's right. Oakmont v. Wyndham Clark is next. Here's Buck. All right, now to golf. A great sport. A great sportsman sport.
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a
shit? Actually, it's a game, not a sport. Right?
Wouldn't
you call it a game?
I don't know.
Well, most sports are games.
Yeah, you're playing a game, but yeah, you play a golf match.
Would you call golf a sport?
Yeah.
You would?
Any of that stuff. Ping pong's a sport. I mean, what's your definition of sport? It's a competition. If it's a competition of some sort of athletic skill, it's a sport.
Okay.
Golf is 100% a sport.
Well, Wyndham Clark.
The most frustrating of sports, I might add.
Oh, it's a bitch.
Yeah.
Wyndham Clark of Oregon Ducks fame,
mm-hmm.
U.S. Open champion Wyndham Clark.
Bit of a temper.
Yeah. Boy, I've heard some tales about him
from
the people that know him.
Runs a little hot. Runs a little hot.
Well, he's admitted that. He's gotten a lot better, which, you know, once he won the U.S. Open, of course, we got a lot of features on him. And it was that he finally found a way to tame that. I mean, he
had a big full swing profile in that Netflix series where they talked about his therapy and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of work on him. It was never about his golf game. He's always been immensely talented. It was always about his propensity to run hot and not be able to take the
can't be in the red at all times.
Right, and so be so triggered red when something bad happens. And he was that, and he admits that, and he's done a lot of work on that, and he has since. Become an elite guy because of that.
Well, again,
he won the U.S. Open. Now, he did not win the last U.S. Open.
No.
That was at Oakmont.
Yeah.
And because he was so pissed and still runs hot, apparently, from time to time, you may remember the photos of him cracking the lockers at the Oakmont Country Club.
Well, we just saw the aftermath of the lockers, and then it was rumored that it was him, and it turned out
it was him. Yeah, and so he just left. He didn't fix any of it or anything.
Just kicked the hell out of it.
And so the club's finally pissed off enough that they're like, "All right, Effer, you're not coming back here." They sent him a letter, said that he's not allowed on the grounds. Which, but I tell you what, that's whoa, because. He's a U.S. Open champ. They are going back there in 2033. Let's just say, again, this is where you have to find a little whimsy.
Sure.
Because the Oakmont made every opportunity to give him a chance to squash this.
Yeah.
And he'll be back. I'm sure he will do something to make Oakmont feel better.
Sure.
And he'll play at Oakmont in 2033. But let's just, with a little whimsy, say he doesn't.
Let's say he digs in.
Yeah. And what does he... He's the U.S. Open. He is a U.S. Open champ.
Yes.
He doesn't play the 2033 U.S. Open because Oakmont won't let him play?
Well, therein lies the question. So if the USGA, who's putting on the U.S. Open, if it's their tournament, but it's at the golf course, who ultimately has the say?
He is not allowed on Oakmont grounds.
But it's not their tournament.
No, but it's their grounds.
So the USGA can say, no, dude, he's playing in this, and Oakmont can be like, to hell he is? Will they have a security guard? Like, nice try, D-bag.
I mean, I guess they could.
Oh, well, they said that he has to donate to a charity that Oakmont likes, a significant donation.
Okay.
What do they say? He has to
significant contributions.
Yes, significant contribution. He has to apologize, and they want him to go through counseling and anger management.
Yeah, therapy and/or anger management counseling.
Okay,
is this a little much from Oakmont here?
Yeah, I can see Wyndham Clark, by the way, telling Oakmont to roll it up real tight and cram it. I kind of want this to go, and Wyndham Clark to tell him to like F you, just show up and be like, go ahead, kick me off the grounds, arrest my ass for trespassing.
And then they would.
Well, I think it'd be great.
I do too. I'm here for it. Be like Scotty Scheffler.
I will say.
Hopefully he doesn't rip the guy's pants.
Oh, man.
When they take him out of there.
It's, first off.
Shouldn't he just pay for the damage? Like, I'm a little surprised, and I don't know much about this story, so maybe he has paid for the damages.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're going to be cracking lockers,
yeah,
you make a ton of money. Yeah. Dude, just pay for it.
Well, and let me just say
what's his problem?
Dude, how embarrassing is it, Wyndham Clark, that you can't control yourself enough to not kick in some rattan lockers. But yes.
Just pay for them.
Two things can be true at once. One, you're a little bitch. And two, Oakmont, you're a bigger bitch that you're freaking out over this. Like, lighten up. Again, I'm guessing if they sent him a bill.
Right.
That
well, they probably did.
It's got to be something else. There's no way they sent him a bill for, dude, he kicked in, what, three lockers? Okay, and by the way, they're not wood lockers. It's like a, like I said, it's like a...
It's like a woven straw. It's like a rattan thing.
Yeah, like a rattan thing. It's some wicker furniture. Okay, it's very fancy wicker. Cool, 10 Gs. You're telling me that he just was like, hell no, I'm not paying that? This is them trying to prove a point. Dude, grow up.
Yeah, I don't know what happened here, but I'm with you.
I'm guessing his foot went through that locker is what happened.
I wanted to escalate.
Yeah.
And...
if there's one thing I know about country clubs, you want to talk about someone who doesn't think their farts stink? I give you country clubs. I don't want to rat anyone out, but
all right, well, here we go. Let's go.
The amount of dumb rich guy S that country club dudes complain about and make a big deal. It baffles me. The best one, because this isn't local. This one is down in Bend. My buddy lives on a very nice course down in Bend, and no one wanted to be on the board, right? Like, no one that lived there wanted to help. No one wanted to be the president. No one wanted to make any sort of decisions. And so they decided that they were going to outsource the running of the club to a company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was called it's Troon.
Yeah.
Country
Clubs. They run all over the country.
Yeah. It's like the biggest in the country, right? And so they were like, okay.
It's what they do.
Yeah. And they told everyone, hey, if no one wants to do this, we're just going to hire this company. So they hire the company. And then like 6 months later, there was a revolt. Because no one liked the way they ran it. And so, like, you had all these dudes, and the things they were freaking out about were the dumbest ancillary things. And they came back and were like, we gave you all a chance to do this. No one wanted to do it.
If you just give it a little bit of your own time, you could have avoided all of this.
Yes.
But no.
And they're like, well, so this is what you want. And so no matter what company we hire, you're going to have a problem. And it was little things like bar mix and the sort of teas that were provided at the club. I'm like, really? Like, you're all millionaires and you're concerned about free teas and bar mix.
Teas, I don't care, although they should be supplied. Bar mix is a big deal, okay? We're going to scrap over bar mix. It's got to be the right bar mix.
The tees were supplied, but they weren't the tees that they wanted.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
So if you're...
Wait,
if you're
saying worth, entitlement at a country club?
If you're worth millions of dollars and you don't like the tees that are provided, could I make a suggestion? Spend some of your millions of dollars and just buy the right tees.
No, they're paying dues, okay?
And don't even get me started on the food. Oh, my God. You take something off the menu... And all hell's going to break loose.
Or the thick rough. Let's mow that down a little bit, okay?
Oh, you want to try to take out a tree? Oh, buddy.
Good country club life. See, that's what you're missing by not joining a country club
I'm all right.
A few open picks for you. Good to talking about the tournament. Could be an interesting weekend. I don't know.
You're doing great.
You know what I mean?
The weekend, you mean?
Could be an interesting tournament. So we'll get to that. And, open picks. Wrap up the hour next on The Fan. All right, the Open starts tonight. It's really tomorrow, but it's kind of tonight because it's across the pond. So I think they tee off around 10:30 or something.
10:35, first tee time.
Yeah, one of our show friends' second cousin kicks it off. You know who that is?
Yeah, old Padraig,
Padraig Harrington, yeah. First group out. Now,
two major championships, three?
Two, I think.
Two?
Interesting golf course, Royal Portrush. They are in Northern Ireland. They are saying that it is expected to rain at some point each day.
Well, it is Ireland, so...
Yeah, and they say this time of year it's very unpredictable. They also say that they are expecting four different wind directions, four different days.
Yikes.
And I watched a thing on Golf Channel earlier today that was talking about the directions of groups of holes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically going to have...
just playing with men with holes.
Yeah, if you play that course on, say, Thursday and the wind's from the southwest, you're playing groups of holes four different ways based on that wind. But then you're doing that again four different ways the next day if the wind flips to southeast. And they're saying four different wind directions, four different days. Dude, this is going to be a mean test, except that because of the rain, it's going to be quite soft. So you're probably going to see a lot of birdies out there. But this is going to be fun. The Open is always a fun tournament, I think.
Mm.
It's a true test.
Well, and just the visuals are different than anything that you see over here. And I do appreciate it because even when you watch it and the courses aren't, because they're not manicured, you know, sometimes it's a little brown or whatever, but it's a little bit of nostalgia. Like when they did the All-Star game or that game at the Field of Dreams. It's like a throwback. It's like how golf was, 100-something years
how
ago.
How golf began, kind of.
Yeah, I have a...
Link style, baby.
I have some romanticism about the Open. And it's cool because it's right by the Bushmills. Did you see the road in front of his actual Bushmill Drive?
Great.
Yeah, the Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
Is apparently
Bushmills.
The distillery, I guess, is right there. And the road that runs in front of it is like Bushmills Drive.
You remember who won it last year?
Was it the Waggler?
The champion golfer of the year.
I do not. Oh, was that?
Was it he of the Waggle, Brian Harman?
Who? No, that was 2 years ago.
Mm.
I don't know who won the Open last year.
Xander Schauffele.
Oh.
Remember?
That's right.
Because he won the PGA and then he turned right around and was like, yeah, win it again. Yeah.
Is that what he said? Exactly.
I think that's what he said.
Nah.
Well, if we're doing picks, I got to tell you now, this is I'm a man who has picked two of the three major winners this year. However, I did not get JJ Spahn at the US Open. I don't think anyone did.
No.
But I am back on Rory. I think Rory's poised to do it again.
Well, he kind of, after he won the Masters, he didn't care for a while, but I would assume that being in the backyard of Northern Ireland, he's going to be a good up for this.
Well, he's hitting it great. He almost won it the last week.
Yeah.
I mean, he's refocused and he knows this course like the back of his hand. And, I don't really understand why he's not the favorite, but he's not. So I took him and, cause it's Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rahm's up there, too. I took him, and I took some Hovland money. I took some Russell Henley money. And I do like Tommy Fleetwood this week.
Okay.
I think Tommy is a player that plays well in the wind and the rain, and he played well last time the major was here, so...
I've heard some
he's playing well this year.
Some rumblings. A lot of people like the Rahmer, although I've been burned by him a couple times this year.
Well, Rahm's elite, but you know what the knock on Rahm is right now? Is the travel. you know, those guys played in, he just played in.
Yeah, with the LIV tour you're talking about.
Yeah. So their travel puts them at a little bit of a disadvantage unless they take a week off and acclimate. So there's been a lot of talk about, Rahm is, I mean, he probably should be right up there. He's awesome and he's playing well right now. It's just that I think a lot of people are scared of him for betting reasons because of that.
I've got some Spieth to finish in the top 10s. Spieth has 11 British Opens and he's finished in the top 10 in 5 of them. He always finishes in the top 25. And I guess they're saying his neck is pretty good right now. So I got some, I think it was like.
But he just a kid this week.
You what?
He just had a kid this week.
Yeah. You know what he named his kid?
I did not see what he named his kid.
Sully.
Sully?
Sully Spieth.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a nickname or?
I don't know if it's short for Sullivan or Sullen Gardner or I don't know.
Sullen Gardner?
Yeah, I'll lengthen it to whatever I feel like.
Boy, I'm thrown for it.
Sully Sullenberger?
That's what I say. Are you
perhaps
a big,
he's a fan of the mustache?
Well, that's kind of what I wondered. Are you like a Hero on the Hudson sort of guy? Do you, like, I get knowing a Sully that's a nickname for something, but who? Sully. All right. Well. I laid down a few shekels. A lot of people were saying, just keep an eye on Spieth.
Yeah.
Was one that
I don't know about Spieth. He's a wild card. I'll tell you this:
Everyone's fading the doucher as well.
There's a lot of people are saying, and this is true always in the Open, that your tee time matters based on the weather conditions. So the early, and this doesn't always work out this way, but because you have to check it like tonight, because if you check it yesterday, it will be completely different forecast by tonight.
Sure.
Because it's very, it's just
unpredictable
out there. But it sounds like the players who are playing Thursday afternoon and Friday morning will have a weather advantage. And that's a big deal because if you get in the wrong flights,
it'd kick your ass.
Yeah, you're just playing in much worse conditions, and it's just tougher to keep up with those other guys who have better. So they're saying Friday morning it's supposed to be pretty nice, and then the wind kicks up and the rain.
Any of the big names that you know that are?
Yeah, so that favors I'm just going off the top of my head because I looked at it this morning. That favors Rory. That favors Hovland. That favors. Gosh, who else was in there? Thomas. I think Scheffler
was in that group too.
No, he was middle. He was kind of middle to mid morning. But again, that may not play.
Sure.
Take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, that may not play out.
It's just something to throw out there.
But it could.
I also saw a lot of the Tyrell Hatton tickets as well that people were.
He's real strong on courses like this.
And there's decent odds on him. I think he was like plus 3,000.
So guys playing late include Finau, Harris English, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas, Rory and Victor, you mentioned, Ludvig Åberg, Jordan Spieth, there Justin Rose, Robert McIntyre, Bryson, all late starts tomorrow. Or tonight, I guess.
Man, should be fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Just give me a good weekend. That's all I ask for.
Who's Buckley's bet?
Well, you know I'm a better of volume, but I am on Rory this week.
Okay.
A lot of people saying people are getting tired of Rory.
Yeah.
Well, look, he doesn't do himself any favors with all
his little busyness.
Cattiness. Yeah. But I don't know. These guys are weird. You know who else is getting like that? Who's really unlikable is Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
You've been following what that
guy? He has been kind of pissy lately.
He's such a little bitch. He's talking about, I don't even know what he's mad about.
He's like complaining about reporters reporting his caddy changes and something like that.
Yeah,
like,
he's just being, it's like, dude.
He's doing the, you're prying into, like, let my business be my business. And you're like, well, that's.
I.e. don't cover me like a pro athlete.
Yes.
But treat me like one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't work that way, Colin. I wanted to like him when he first popped on tour. I kind of don't like him.
I don't like his vibe so much right now. I've got him to miss the cut at plus money.
Oh, look at you. Spite bet.
Fading him.
I tell you what,
see,
dude.
I'm fading the doucher.
I
like that.
I'm all Team USA when it comes to Ryder Cup, but I got to admit, our team is so douchey compared to the European team.
It is true.
And it didn't used to be that way. Yeah. It used to be that the Europeans were the douchemongers. Not anymore. They're all great. They're all nice guys.
Yeah,
the U.S., we have Duchambeau. We had Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson. Have I mentioned anyone who's not a douche? Brooks Koepka.
Oh, we got the fat boy that everyone hates.
Patrick Reed.
Yeah, Patrick Reed.
I mentioned him. But what about our only good guys are Spieth and Thomas, and they're off the reservation.
They're not good at golf right now.
No, they suck. And then you've got freaking Xander Schauffele's our one guy. He's like, all right, he's good American.
Pull for him.
But then you go on the other side, and like they're all great dudes. Yeah. I want to have a pint with all of them.
Except for Rory now.
No, I like Rory. I think Rory's a good guy.
You've got a weird crush on him.
I do. I hope he wins again. Makes me more money. That dude cashes more tickets for me than anybody I've ever bet on.
Yeah, I had to look it up. Morikawa said that he doesn't owe anyone anything following the criticism for choosing not to speak.
Oh, that's what it was. They give him crap because he walked. He lost that tournament to Russell Henley and he walked off.
Yeah.
And
said he doesn't owe anyone.
But more recently, he made a bag change, and then someone wrote about it, and he got all mad that they wrote about it before he could talk about it.
Hey, you guys
want to show up and talk to the media then?
Anybody want a hot Barracuda championship tip?
Ooh, I do, I do.
What?
Well, listen, they've got the Barracuda going on at the same time as the Open.
The what?
Well, it's a golf tournament.
Is that
the guy,
Nevada?
The guys who don't make the, in California.
Hold on. I'm going to go back to not paying attention. What? The Barracuda?
Hey, it's an opportunity to make money, Chase.
It's for the guys who, Jace, who
Jazzy babes.
It's for the guys who don't aren't playing in the Open.
Okay.
The best player in that tournament is plus +2,500. I'm just saying.
Take a couple shots, throw a couple darts.
I'm not saying.
A lot of people are saying that's a freaking value of a bet there.
The fact that you two idiots again are going to bet on the Barracuda.
Let's go.
We're gonna win on the Barracuda.
Oh my god,
dude, that's a you. You almost have to place a
you
bet
owe
on
it to yourself.
No, I don't. I don't have to place a bet on the Barracuda. I really don't.
I'm talking about none other than Max Homa. He is playing in that tournament. He's playing good right now. He's the best player in the field because it's all the other guy, the also-rans, kind of.
Sure.
And he's, I don't know why, but he's plus +2,500.
Well,
maybe a little Cameron Champ action.
Give me a little bet there.
Ooh, my guy Rico Hoey.
What do you think about Rico Hoey, Suk?
Did you just say my guy Rico Hoey?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you were gone, but Rui Hui almost won me a first round leader. Missed it by a shot.
I hate you both sometimes.
Why?
Rico? Did you say what? You
Rico Hoey?
Yeah, the Philippines. Well, okay. His name's Rico Hoey, and Isaac had never heard of him, and he's like, who are you talking about? Rui Hui? And that's how Rui Hui came to be.
Rico Hoey.
Rico Hoey.
Sucker.
Yeah. Place a Sawbuck.
Not a household name.
Place a Sawbuck on the Hoey.
Hey, man, just telling you, the Barracuda is a bettable tournament.
He's my favorite Filipino golfer, so.
Do you have a favorite Filipino golfer, Suk?
I can't say that I do.
Why not?
Should I?
Rico Hoey's right there.
Buck does.
Can you name me one other Filipino golfer?
Nico Hoey.
No, I can't.
Is Manny Pacquiao a golfer? Because he would be a Filipino boxer.
What about that Kiradek Afi Barnrat guy? Is he's
what?
Thai?
You're just making things up.
No,
now.
That's
no.
His name.
He's a vape god.
I think he's Afi Barnrat. I think
he might be like Thai or.
That's a good question. Well, we'll look it up during the break.
The important stuff.
I'm looking up the prominent Filipino golfers.
Yeah, Alfie Barnrat is Thai.
What about Yuka Sasso,
a
two-time U.S. Women Open champion?
Women's?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We don't bet women's golf.
You sexist
son. Look at you bringing women's golf into here.
That's how bad it is when you look up Filipino golfer. That's the only one that pops up.
Well, that's why we stan Rico.
And by the way, the next name that pops up after her is indeed Rico Hui.
Yep.
I think it's Hoey. Please get it right.
Nah, I don't care.
Should be a fun tournament. Royal Port Rush starts tonight. Latest travel trend, honeymoon crashing by parents. Next on The Fan.